Certainly we do this morning. May we be thankful for that. Greet you in Christ's name. Glad for the presence of each one this morning. Thank you for being here. I trust that we have all had a good, a blessed week again. I feel like I have. Thank you for your prayers as we were gone to the ministers' meetings this week. I feel like we had a good, profitable, encouraging time there, and here at some point we would like to give a report on that. All right, I'm sure that everyone is fully aware what this week is. It's Thanksgiving week. Most everyone probably knows the basics of Thanksgiving and how it came to be. The first national Thanksgiving was the first national Thanksgiving Day was proclaimed by President George Washington in 1789. However, it did not become a regular holiday in the U.S. until 1863, when Abraham Lincoln declared that the last Thursday in November should be celebrated as Thanksgiving. One other thing that I found interesting that I'm going to throw in here, not that it affects the message or anything, but it's a note or a quotation that I come across. It said this: why is Thanksgiving so important? Thanksgiving is built in family time. For many individuals, Thanksgiving is one of the only times that extended families are able to come together. This is incredibly important because it provides the opportunity for family members to spend a day engaging with one another in a very intentional way. Now, that stood out to me coming from a secular observation, and I thought it interesting and worth noting. This morning I would like to think about thankfulness. I guess if it would have a title, that's what it would be. I would like to use the word thankfulness as an acrostic. We'll put that up here on the board. Thankfulness. We will need to move fairly rapidly through these. There will be 12 points. Some of the words will relate directly to Thanksgiving, and some will be somewhat indirectly. We'll be turning to a lot of Scripture. Turn to them as you care to, but a little bit on the word thankfulness. Definition: acknowledgement of a favor. We use the word gratitude sometimes. an emotion of the heart excited by a favor or benefit received. It is also a virtue of the highest excellence, as it implies a feeling and generous heart and a proper sense of duty. All right, so we'd like to think about that this morning a little bit about thankfulness, what thankfulness is. So the first letter, we'll move right into this. The first letter we have is the letter T. And I would simply put, thankful through and through. You get the idea. thankful through and through, all the way through our being, our everyday life, as just a part of us. Thankful through and through. You know, it's not hard to be thankful this morning if God answers our prayers just the way we desire every time, just the way we would want. It would not be difficult. It would not be hard to be a thankful person. But the test of faith comes, and the test of thankfulness comes. Can we still thank God when He answers our prayers with a no? Or maybe He answers with a wait. Can we still be thankful? That is where maybe we are put to the test at times. There's a quote from Fanny Crosby. I'd like to ask one of you children, what was different about Fanny Crosby? Can someone tell me a little, just what was different about her? Anyone? Blake, do you know? All right, she was blind. Okay, that was what was different about Fanny Crosby. She was blind. And here is a quote from her. I could not have written over 1,000 hymns if I had been hindered by the distraction of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice. I thought that was interesting, a quote from her. We don't think about that, of course. We enjoy our eyesight. We want that. But Fanny was blind, and she did not let her physical condition make her an unthankful person. And she wrote many, many hymns. Another individual, a man by the name of Martin Rinkart, a 17th century Lutheran pastor. This man wrote a lot of hymns as well. He served in Germany during the height of the 30-Year War. He had a tough life. He had a very rough life in the conditions that he was at there in Germany during the 30-Year War. He had hardly enough food for his family to live, and a lot of pastors had fled the country, had left. But Martin stayed, and during his time there, during this war, he conducted over 4,500 funerals, sometimes 40 or 50 bodies at a time, and it included his own wife. That is when he wrote the song, Now Thank We All Our God. Let's turn to that. We find that in number 690 in the hymns of the church. We're not going to sing this song, but I would like to read it. Martin wrote this song, Now Thank We All of Our God. He wrote this song a lot, for the immediate benefit of his children. And he had his children say this song before every meal. At least once a day. It said most before every meal. He had his children say this song. I'd like to read it. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. Now let's remember what he was going through at this time. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, with wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way, with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this boundless God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with him in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be forevermore. Isn't it amazing that he could write that song after so many things that had happened to him? I say that man was thankful through and through. It was a part of him. All right, the second letter. Move on here. The second letter in thankfulness. I would like to put the word home. You may wonder why I put that there. There's a reason. This morning, I am very thankful for our Christian homes. That is something we need to be thankful for. That is something that I think we take for granted at times. And think about that with Thanksgiving this week. Think about the blessing of our Christian home. We have the opportunity to have friends and families together for Thanksgiving, if that is what we would like to do. Today, I don't have to say it, but there are many, many people who do not have a place to go. There are many broken homes, and some of the situations that I've been a little closer to in the last little while, I've become more aware of that and the impact that has on us and on individuals involved, broken homes. And it has just caused me to, I've just been thinking about that a lot lately, the blessing that we have to be a part of a Christian home. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says this: rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Most of us were privileged to grow up in a Christian home and be taught and established in the faith. This morning I am thankful for that. Are we abounding in thanksgiving with the Christian homes that we have? Again, we see much the opposite of that, of Christian homes all about us. The home is being attacked in many ways. All right, we'll move on to the third letter. The third letter is A. I'm going to put down attitude of thankfulness. An attitude of thankfulness. Turn with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 24. Familiar verse. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and be glad in the day that God has made. So many times, gratitude is an attitude that we choose, that we have to choose. Sometimes we get caught into the trap of thinking we can't be thankful in our present circumstances, because, well, life will be better tomorrow. Well, the reality is that unless we find happiness and thankfulness right now in the day that we are presently in, the day that the Lord has made, we probably won't find it in the future either. Anxiety springs from the desire that things should happen to us as we wish rather than as God wills. That is where anxiety comes from. When we desire that things should happen the way we want them to happen, and we're so concerned about that happening, anxiety comes from that. And there can be a rest when we rest in the fact that it is as God wills. So many times, our attitude makes all the difference. There's a story told. There was this couple that had twin boys, and they were just as opposite as night and day. One was seemed to be a born pessimist, and the other a born optimist. And the parents thought, well, they're going to take care of that once and for all. So they took one room and they filled it with a lot of new toys, and they put the pessimist in that room. And they took another room and filled it with horse manure. And they put the optimist in that room. Well, they left these boys in the rooms for a time, and then they came to the room where the pessimist was with all the toys. They opened up the door and found the boys just crying his eyes out. He was just crying. And they asked him, what's the matter? What's wrong? His response was, I'm just thinking about the time when all these toys are going to be broken. Well, he certainly was a pessimist. But so they went to the room where the optimist was with all the horse manure, and they opened the door to find him just laughing and just gleefully digging in the horse manure. And they wondered what in the world he was doing. He said, well, with all this horse manure, there's surely got to be a pony in here somewhere. Well, the point is that a lot of times that is our mentality. The things we accustom ourselves to and the choices that we make determine how we look at things in life. A good challenge for us. All right, the fourth letter we have is N. We're going to put nearness. All right, nearness. Turn with me to Psalm 75. Are we thankful for God's nearness this morning? Psalm 75. Verse 1 says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. He says it twice. Unto thee do we give thanks. I believe he is emphasizing the depth of the gratitude. God was near his people. He had heard their cry. He answered their prayers. And this morning, do we feel a nearness to God? I trust that we do. He answers our prayers at God. He answers our prayers as well. If you want to be where God is, you need to go to his address. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. What I get from that is that we need to enter into his presence. It is a choice that each of us has. Enter into his gates, how does it say? With thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. This morning we have Jesus right here with us. He is in our presence. He is near us. No, we can't see Jesus, but but he's right here. Does that cause us to praise and be thankful to him? Are we thankful for that this morning? The fifth letter, we have the letter K. I'm going to put down for that one, knowing Knowing Jesus. This morning, can you imagine doing everything on your own strength? Just on our own. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Read verses 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we thankful this morning that our parents taught us about Jesus Christ? Are we thankful for the example that they gave to us and living in the nearness of Jesus? You know, you may be facing a circumstance that does not naturally call for gratitude. Maybe it is difficult. But remember, as we are in the presence of God, as we are near Him, with God all things are possible. But it takes being in His presence. It takes a nearness. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe even in the toughest times, we can thank God for His nearness and for His protection. And certainly there are lots of blessings surrounding that. We have the brotherhood. We have friends that we can reach out to, speak to, find courage from as well. Talking to God, talking to others. Good relationships in that way. Moving on to the sixth letter. The letter F. We're going to go faithfulness. Faithfulness of God. Thankful for the faithfulness of God. Turn with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Verse. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for that one yet. Let's go back to Psalm 30. We'll turn to that Psalm 118 here in a bit. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Are we thankful this morning for God's faithfulness and His holiness? The faithfulness of God is never changing. You know, in the last year, it seems like there has been a lot of changes. Well, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God, that God does not change. God has not changed through that. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Read three verses there. Colossians 3. Verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. These verses are the true center of the Christian life. Give thanks unto the Lord. Now let's turn to Psalm 118 and read verses 28 and 29. Psalm 118. Yes, I was looking at the wrong verse. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Have you thanked God that He is good? I believe we should do that. God truly is good. God does so much for each of us, and it calls us to be a thankful people for His goodness. Going to the seventh letter. We have the letter U. You put unselfishness. Unselfishness. Not attached to one's own interest. You know, our nature is to be a selfish people. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. And we'll notice here selfishness. We have a list of things here. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It's interesting to me to note how he used the word unthankful here, and all of those, well, this list of, we could almost say, worst of sins. Verse 5, looking right on the outside, but having no power to do what is right on the inside. So unselfishness. Okay, eighth letter. We have the letter L. Right, let's thank God for his unspeakable gifts. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That which cannot fully be declared. James 1:17. I'll just read that one. I have it jotted down. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Turn with me now back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Read a number of verses here. We're talking a little bit about, let's thank God for his unspeakable gifts, and we'll get to another one where this thought will be, the thought of gifts will be in it as well. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This morning, let's thank God for the unspeakable gift, the plan of salvation. You know, in a lot of ways, we may have it so easy being a Christian. In some ways, it is that. But in some ways, yet it is hard. Let's not take these things for granted. The unspeakable gift of salvation. In the Old Testament, there was a lot of blood shed. We know that. Animals had to be sacrificed. There was sacrifice after sacrifice. And here this morning, we can come before Jesus. That sacrifice has been made. We can come to him and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it takes a continuing on. It takes obedience. This morning I'm thankful for the privilege that we have this plan of salvation. Truly it is an unspeakable gift. Another thing I would like to add to this letter L is let's thank God, let's thank the Lord for his wisdom and might. In Daniel, I don't think I'm going to turn to that. Maybe I have some of those verses written here. Yes, in Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 to 23, we have Daniel in a situation where the Lord gave him a lot of wisdom. And it was interesting to me to note this, of the wisdom and the might that was given to him in interpreting the Lord's, or the dream of the king. Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 to 23, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision." Then, what I noted here is that then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel spent time blessing and thanking God before he ever went and told the king the interpretation. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." I thought it interesting that it appears to me like before Daniel ever made it known that that the Lord had given him the revelation of this dream, the interpretation of it, that he spent specific time thanking and praising God for giving him wisdom and might. God showed the king's dream to Daniel, and then he went to tell the king. It's a challenge as we think about that. Do we thank the Lord for wisdom and might? I also thought of the account and also with Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. When the decree was made about praying, giving or praying to God, or not praying to God, they had to pray to the king or to the image. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did before time." When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, What for writing was that? Well, in a lot of ways, it was his death sentence. But what did he do? He went and prayed and gave thanks to God. Let's remember to thank God for his wisdom and might. The letter N. Never-ending grace. Thankful for never-ending grace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." How can we repay Jesus for his amazing grace that he gives us? It's through obedience. It's through a thankful heart expressed both in word and deed. Okay, the 10th letter, the letter E. Every good gift, coming back to the thought of gift here again. And perfect gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Very similar to what I had for the letter L. This morning, the things we receive from God are gifts. Do we view them as such? We are blessed with so much. The ability to work with our hands. The ability to go out and make a living. Provide for our own. Good health. It seems like there have been so many that we know who are not in good health. So many of these things we take for granted. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. You don't need to turn to some of these. I wrote some of these last ones especially down here for lack of time. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory. The 11th letter, we have the letter S, and I'm simply going to put one word down for that. You can put stranger. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17, and you'll find why I use that word, stranger. Luke chapter 17. I could have put Samaritan as well. It gives it away a little bit more. We have the account here of I'll just read it. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet. Giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He was a stranger. He was a Samaritan. He was rejected. The word stranger there means he was a stranger from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And God, or Jesus, reached down to him and brought healing. Well, doesn't that sound like you and I this morning? Having no hope and without God in the world. This morning I'm thankful that we can be saved, that Jesus Christ reached down to us and provided the plan of salvation for us, that we can be saved. With Jesus we can have hope. We can be with God. Jesus healed this man's body and his soul. Let's not be too busy to say thank you. I find that for myself. Taking for granted the many things that are given to us, the blessings that we have. We're busy. We keep on in life and hardly even think about it. Let's not be too busy to say thank you. I don't know what happened to the 9, I'm sure that they went to show themselves to the priests. Maybe they were pretty anxious to tell their family about being healed. They more than likely were. This was on their mind. The question for us to consider, does it really matter if we verbalize our thanks? Is it not more important to have it in our hearts? Let's turn to Psalm 145 for a thought on that. Psalm 145. As we read this, ponder the question, does it really matter if we verbalize our thanks? Verse 1 and 2. Actually, a number of verses here. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. O generation, one generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Notice all the words here that refer to the thought of verbalizing, out loud. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. This morning, I believe, if you have a thankful heart, it will spill out in many audible ways. We will speak of it. It will spill out to the lives around you in words and in deeds. All right, the last point, the 12th letter. We have the letter S for satisfied. Satisfied. A thankful Christian is a satisfied Christian, a contented person. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." So many times, the most miserable people are the ones that have the most. They're not satisfied. While some of the happiest are those who have nothing but Jesus. You probably have met people like that. A poor penniless old lady was asked, "Why are you so happy all the time? I see you only have two teeth in your mouth." "Yes," said the aged Christian, "I only have two teeth left, but I thank God each day that those two teeth are opposite from each other so I can still chew with them." She was a thankful person. Would you say she was satisfied? It seemed that way. This morning, why should we be thankful? I want to read yet a few verses in closing. Revelation, turn with me there if you can. Revelation chapter 11. Verses 15 through 17. Revelation 11, 15 through 17. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." This morning, why should we be a thankful people? It gets us ready for heaven. Gets us ready for that time when we can be around the throne and give thanks to the Lord. "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty." A verse yet in Psalm 140, verse 13. "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." Surely, surely the righteous shall give thanks. This morning, let's give thanks and praise to the Lord now. And then in heaven, we can praise and thank the Lord forever. Let's be a may we be challenged to be a thankful people. Let's kneel together in prayer.